This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick here. I wanted to play the rest of that clip. We ran out of time in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but Freedom Caucus member in the U.S. House of Representatives, Chip Roy, Republican congressman out of Texas, he took to the floor of the House last week and he said, "Name me one thing we've gotten done." You know, he's expressing, I think, the frustration of a lot of conservatives with the Republican-controlled Congress right now, given all the infighting that has taken place. And you know, weeks they went without even being in session while they fought over who would be the next Speaker of the House. Anyway, name one thing that we got accomplished that I can go back and tell my constituents about, was what Chip Roy asked. And anyway, Kevin McCarthy says, "Hey, I wish I was on the floor because I would have popped up there and said a few things." Anyway, so what's the reaction from former Speaker Kevin McCarthy? Here it is.
"I wish I was there because I would have gone to the floor and I would have told Chip a number of things. We cut $2 trillion. We got work requirements. We got reform to NEPA, something we haven't done in 40 years. We stopped any IRS new agents from being hired this year and $20 billion going into the future. You know what else we transpired? We made bills actually have to come through committee. We made sure that members had to show up to go to work. We passed the Parents' Bill of Rights. We passed a bill that makes us energy independent. We passed the most conservative border security bill that we've ever done in the process. It's actually, if you took it up to August, the report was between this Congress and when the Democrats had the majority in the last Congress in the Senate and the White House, we had more bills passed. We had more bills signed into law. One of the most productive Congresses. So, you know, unfortunately, there are a few members that have stopped us from being able to pass appropriation bills. There are some members that seem they want to be in the minority instead of being the majority. But this Congress has taken on from a border security, from accountability in government and oversight, from stopped the pandemic. We've made sure those in the military didn't get kicked out because they didn't want to take the vaccine based upon their own religious beliefs. There are a number of things in holding this White House accountable. I would have gone on and on the floor to say exactly what we've done week after week after week."
All right, that was former Speaker McCarthy on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. All right, well, it's Monday. Every Monday, we get to your business news headlines here. Back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn with us on the phone lines. We've got a quick minute here before the break. What's the big business stories you wanted to talk about this morning, Evelyn?
Well, there's some very interesting news coming out of the Billings Airport. And coming up this weekend is Shop Small Business Saturday, and that's a really big, important thing for our local economy to support our local businesses. And then I thought that it was very interesting to find out that people are becoming more interested in homeschooling. Inquiries and information generated regarding it went up 365%
this
past.
And is that nationally or right here in Montana alone? I know there's been a huge increase here in Montana. Well, we'll find out. Hold that thought. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Lots of ground to cover here. Back right after this with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Here is your Montana news. 2023 will likely see twice as much fentanyl seized from 2022's record-breaking year. That's the likelihood, according to Attorney General Austin Knutson. Through the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Task Forces, nearly 350,000 doses of fentanyl have been collected in drug busts, 83% more than all of 2022. But that number of doses is what has been confiscated up to September 30th for three quarters of this year only. Nick Christensen with KGVO reports that nearly 60,000 doses were captured last quarter, July 1st to September 30th. That is almost the same amount seized in all of 2021. The Attorney General praised law enforcement and the task force for these drug busts, while he also blames the open southern border. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see sunny to partly cloudy conditions with afternoon high temperatures reaching into the lower 40s for Bozeman, but approaching 50 degrees for Billings. Then for tonight, under mostly clear skies, lows in the mid to upper 20s. Tuesday, some gradually increasing clouds. Highs looking to reach the lower to middle part of the 50s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Casting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be the last topic that we get to this morning, but I'm very interested in hearing Evelyn's take on this homeschooling report and the huge jump in interest in homeschooling and what's behind it. She and I, we were just chatting a little bit during the break there about, you know, what's going on in academia. And so anyway, that'll be a good conversation as well. But let's start maybe with the airport news. Yeah, Evelyn, I told you, I was like, the one headline I saw recently was more direct flights between Billings, Montana, and I think it was Los Angeles, California. And I'm like, oh, great. Just what we need is another pipeline from L.A. to Montana. But actually, this reporting that you're doing is about much more than just direct flights to specific cities. You're kind of looking at what all is going on at the Billings Airport, because the Billings Airport's really trying to, you know, get down the tarmac and catch up to the airport in Bozeman, right?
I don't know that that's specifically their goal, but yeah, they are making lots of improvements, and some of it absolutely has to be done in order to get some of these airline companies to consider Billings because of the way that airline service is being provided nowadays, and they have to catch up. But one of the interesting things is they had a consultant at this meeting that was held a week ago that was sponsored by the Billings Chamber of Commerce. And, this consultant answered the question, why does Bozeman have more and less expensive flights than Billings, which I know lots and lots of people have been asking. And she said that following COVID, business travel did not bounce back the way leisure travel has, which has encouraged airlines to invest more in leisure travel than in business travel. And so when you compare Bozeman and Billings, which they underscored are two very different markets, Bozeman has a lot of leisure destinations, and Billings is very business oriented. So that kind of explains some of the changes that's happened. And, you know, during COVID, personally, I think that one of the reasons for business travel dropping off is people discovered services like Zoom, you know, and virtual meetings and stuff, and they don't have to go places in order to have conferences, and that saves businesses a lot of money, but it unfortunately reduces air travel, and not such a good thing for the airlines. But Billings is working on getting less expensive and more options for flights, as we've been hearing lately. And one way to encourage more flights or more airlines to locate in Billings, as was noted by the Billings Chamber CEO John Brewer, he said, the more travelers are using Billings service, the more attractive Billings appears as a good market for airline carriers to come to. So, you know, when you're looking there and saying, well, should I drive over to Bozeman where it's a few dollars cheaper, or, fly out of Billings, you know, take that into consideration in making that decision. And that's one way to increase the number of airline companies who come here. And there's a lot of changes that they're making at Billings Field. They're doubling the number of gate terminals. They're rebuilding their internal roads. And it was noted that another fixed air base similar to like Edwards Jet Center is maybe coming to the Billings Airport. They're adding another ramp for air cargo. And one of the big issues that has to be decided that the Billings Airport Manager Jeff Roach talked about was to expand parking. They need more parking. And the issue is, do you build up now or continue to, you know, do this spreading out of parking lots.
So. Oh, sure. So do you build a parking garage, or right. do you just develop another field and turn that space into more parking? Yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation. Well, I can say, I mean, it's probably been a long time since I've actually been on an airline flight, but at least the last time I was inside the Billings Airport, the remodel looks great. It's got a really cool look to it. Nice new restrooms. It's got a nice kind of restaurant / bar area inside the terminal. I don't know if you saw the story that I did on the restaurant in Columbia Falls that has the Rosie the Robot help deliver the plates for the waitresses. Tim and Savage was telling me he saw the same type of robot working inside of the Billings Airport. So apparently they have one of these robots helping to deliver things in there as well.
Maybe it's worth going to a dinner up there just to be served by a robot.
Just to check it out. Yeah. Well, that's interesting to hear what they're doing there, the doubling of terminals and expanded, port capacity there as well with serving some of the cargo space. Yeah, that's a big part of the Billings Airport that a lot of people forget about, is all of the freight traffic coming in there, UPS, FedEx, et cetera, on a day-to-day basis.
Right, and I'm thinking that's growing, even though passenger flights have it's growing too, but it's not like it used to be in terms of percentage of growth and all of that. But when you were talking about establishing a new flight in California, I was surprised. I didn't really ever think about this, but apparently there are no direct flights between Montana and California. And Mr. Brewer commented that it was one of the biggest destinations.
I thought the Flathead had a few. I thought Bozeman and Kalispell both already had direct flights to a couple of cities, maybe for Billings. I mean, outside of the Allegiant Air flights, of course, that were already existing.
Yeah. It's just Billings.
Yeah, could have been just Billings. All right, hold that thought. We'll talk about shopping local Saturday right after this.
Securing America.
Security at the U.S. southern border continues to be a topic of heavy political debate and concern. Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons saying on Fox News Sunday, the money President Biden has asked Congress for will help there.
It would hire literally thousands of more Border Patrol agents.
However, Texas Department of Public Safety Lieutenant Chris Olivera says the threat goes beyond that. On Fox's Sunday Morning Futures, he referenced people on the terror watch list caught at the border.
Over 170 last fiscal year. That is more than combined in the last 6 years.
That concerns Republican Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio. On CBS's Face the Nation, he advocated for the renewal of the portion of the FISA Act allowing for the collection of the information on foreigners who might pose a threat.
We have to continue to collect that data and information. It's from which we are able to keep our country secure.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, if you thought I drank too much coffee for Friday's show, you're right, I did. Well, see, I got this crazy French press thermos out of Dillon, Montana. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Last week during the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, told farm broadcasters that commodity trade doesn't just support the nation's farmers.
In 2021, U.S. agricultural exports supported more than 1.2 million jobs and generated nearly $190 billion in additional economic activity. That economic activity is not only critical to supporting the livelihoods of our farmers and ranchers, but the communities that they are living in. USDA is committed to opening new markets and reducing and eliminating trade barriers for U.S. producers.
But many farmers and ranchers say they're disappointed in the Biden administration and USDA's efforts to expand export markets over the last 3 years. But Taylor defended the administration, saying that opening and developing new markets takes a lot of time.
Market development does not happen overnight, and sometimes it can take decades of engagement. I often think about trade as like victory by inches, but we have already seen some results from the efforts that we have undertaken. A few others I wanted to highlight is after decades of work, we've been able to expand to full market access for potato exporters into Mexico. Also, in February of this year, I met with Vietnamese government officials as we finalize access for U.S. grapefruit to the Vietnamese market.
U.S. ag exports in fiscal year 23 were projected down $5.5 billion from the previous year. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal on this Thanksgiving week. Hope everybody is going to have a great Thanksgiving here later this week. And then typically you'd think of Black Friday, but I don't know, is Black Friday the, you know, as big of a deal as it used to be? Either way, hey, Evelyn, I got to share this with you. You've probably been hearing some of the Fox News updates this morning, but apparently everybody is thinking the same thing. When they hear this story, they're going to pardon two turkeys at the White House. And Jeff and Victor says, hey, Aaron, I heard the White House pardoned two turkeys. I was wondering if they were named Hunter and Joe. Apparently, everybody's thinking the same thing when they hear that story this morning. Oh, pretty good one there. But all right, let's see. Shop local Saturday. First off, Evelyn, is Black Friday still as big of a deal as it used to be? Remember, people would just go nuts the Friday after Thanksgiving. I know it's probably still a big deal, but it seems like there's more and more businesses that aren't doing the whole Black Friday thing.
Yeah, they certainly don't have the long lines waiting all night like they used to. I think Monday, the Cyber Monday or whatever that's called, I mean, online shopping, I think, has taken over, or not taken over, but, you know, there's more of that going on. But a good thing is also, in 2010, American Express started the Shop Local, Shop Small Saturday, which is the day after Black Friday's shopping spree. And I think it has caught on, and because people who shop at local stores and mom-and-pop kind of enterprises are making a huge contribution to their local community and local economy. It's a shopping day that undoubtedly helps to keep such businesses going all year round. It's such a big day. Shoppers and diners spent almost $18 billion last year on Small Business Saturday. And the important thing to understand is that when you spend a dollar in your community at a local store, it stays in your community for a longer period of time, and it generates more economic benefits. So an average of two-thirds of every dollar spent at a small business stays in the local community. Every dollar spent at a small business creates an additional 50 cents of benefit in local business activity as a result of the employers and employees spending and purchasing other products and goods from other local businesses. There's a lot of exciting and interesting stores that are owned by people right here in Billings, and just go and enjoy them and participate. I think people will find things that are a new novel idea or more exciting than just something online.
And oftentimes there's price match opportunities too. So if you're saying, well, I get a much cheaper price and, you know, everything's getting expensive these days, well, hey, check with these stores, because many of them, like I know Scheels, will price match. They do an incredible job of price matching. And then you can go actually try things on. And then if you got to return it, you know, you don't have to return it in the mail and then wait to get something else. And then when that, you can actually try things on, you can actually see them. And you know, like one of the things I love about going to Ace Hardware, for example, is their people, you know, it's always easy to find an associate to help you. They always have good information to help you get the right thing. And but what's funny is, like, even like clothes shopping, like obviously Scheels has some great clothes there, right? But like my wife was telling me, she's like, holy cow, I just found like one of my favorite pairs of jeans. She said she found at Ace Hardware. Like, who knew Ace Hardware had some of some good jeans, right? You know. And then, of course, there's Shipton's Big R and so many others. But and then some mom and pop shops that are always fun to check out also.
Yeah, there's a toy store out west of town, and they sell every kind of tractor and truck and greater and everything you can imagine. And, you know, it, for a kid, it's just, it blows their mind at the toys that are there. So, yeah, there's a lot of really great things that Billings businesses have to offer.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. We got about a minute before our Fox News update, but we'll, but if you can, stand by and we'll talk more with you after that. But maybe in the next 30 seconds or so, what are the top lines in this big increase in homeschooling interest? Is that a Montana-specific number or is it a national number?
Well, it is a national report, but Montana is mentioned as one of the top states showing interest. And I know homeschooling has long been a really popular thing in Montana going back many years. And in fact, Montana had some of the best homeschooling laws in the nation at one point, which I think other states have followed suit. So homeschooling is a big deal in Montana.
Yeah, that's right. And what did you say? It was almost a 400% increase in homeschool interest, yeah. Is the number? Yeah.
5%, yeah.
365%. Well, and we look at the crime that's taking place, especially the youth violence taking place in parts of Montana right now. I can only see that increasing those numbers and increasing that interest. All right, more to follow with Evelyn. She's going to stick around for a few more minutes right after this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's the start of a big travel week. A lot of people are driving or flying somewhere for Thanksgiving.
TSA is expecting to screen a record-breaking 30 million passengers. Another headache could be on the horizon as a cross-country storm is going to provide an extra layer of challenge for travelers from the Midwest to the Northeast, bringing severe weather to the Gulf Coast. Now, it moves east just in time to make things soggy for drivers hitting the road on Wednesday, but things should brighten up by Thanksgiving Day.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. 9 days after a fire shut it down, an elevated freeway in Los Angeles and Interstate 10 is reopened in time for this morning's rush hour. It's expected to take weeks.
It wasn't just speed that we were after. We wanted to make sure this thing was safe.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, the closure affected tens of thousands of commuters. The I-10 runs east-west through downtown L.A. and connects with other major roads. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And then in just a few minutes, we should have a guest join us on this show. Apparently, there could be a pretty contentious school board meeting in Billings regarding a book that is found on the school library bookshelves. Apparently, this book talks about shootings and shooting teachers. So is a book that talks about shooting teachers appropriate to be inside of a school library? Anyway, we'll find out here in just a few minutes. I think we have a guest joining us. But first, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. How big of a driver is safety when it comes to this dramatic increase in homeschool interest? I was talking with Jake Penwell from Ace Scholarships, and they give scholarships to kids to go to the school of their choice. And he says that, yes, safety is the number one driver for families that or kids that want to go to another school, a private school, a faith-based school, you name it.
Yeah, that's what this study, which came from Age of Learning, that's what they said. The number one concern expressed by parents is safety. That's by far the top issue. While some parents are interested in homeschooling because of concerns about quality, the main concern was safety in regard undoubtedly to, you know, the shootings and violence that is often reported happening in schools. But also, I'm sure COVID really catapulted the concern that parents have about what their children are exposed to and the pressure and anxiety that is imposed on children through this whole process. I don't think people pay nearly enough attention to the psychological impacts of some of their the craziness that adults around them are conducting, you know.
Well, that's right. But, well, and then also not knowing at any moment that they could just shut it all down, and here you think your kid's going to be in school, and then the next thing you know, you as a working parent have to figure out, wait, what do we do now? Because they just out of the blue shut things down or shut this down or stop that. And so, yeah, no, well, very interesting reports as always. Evelyn Pyburn, thanks for your time. Always appreciate it. Okay, let's see. We should have a guest joining us here coming up after our next break, talking about apparently a controversial book at inside the public schools in Billings. Maybe I wonder if this is in other public schools across Montana as well, but that should be coming up after the next break. Hey, Thanksgiving break. Some people are going to get to enjoy a few days off for Thanksgiving, and then you got the Christmas break right after that. And for some of you, it's not going to be much of a break from eating, at least. You're going to be, you know, you're probably dreading it because you're thinking, man, I've already put on all these pounds over the year. Here's what I would encourage you to do. If you're somebody who's wanting to lose weight, don't freak out right now. Wait till January. But here's what I would do. Go to Billings Last Diet, attend their free seminar, and then you can wait to start the program until after the holidays. But then at least you go through the seminar and you're good to go. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com and get the stress off your plate.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got a couple of Cat Grizz headlines on our Montana Talks website. First off, the good news for our friends in Bozeman, or for our Montana State Bobcat friends out there listening. Obviously, the Grizz, you know, our Grizz friends, very happy. The Grizz pulled off a stunning victory against the Bobcats for the Cat Grizz game on Saturday in Missoula. But for our Bobcat friends, we could see another Cat Grizz game in less than 1 month. Yeah, you can check out the bracket. We've got proof that there could be another Cat Grizz football game here in Montana next month. Because basically, if both the Bobcats and the Grizz win their first two playoff games coming up December 2nd and the weekend of December 8th, then the Bobcats and the Grizz would face off in Missoula once again after those first two rounds of the playoffs, because they're both on the same side of the bracket. So, man, how cool would that be if we had another Cat Grizz game? Plus, I've got another headline here. Left-wing activists deface the M in Missoula during the Cat Grizz game. Basically, you had anti-Israel activists in Missoula deface the M above Washington Grizzly Stadium during the middle of the Cat Grizz game on Saturday, and they used butcher paper, which is pretty symbolic given the fact that they were supporting the Palestinian Hamas terrorists, basically, with their antics. They used butcher paper to basically paint the M in Palestine flag colors. So anyway, we'll talk more about that here later this morning as well. Shelley in Kalispell asked a really good question. Can you imagine what the reception would be like if it were painted light blue in honor of Israel instead? How would the leftists in Missoula respond to that one, right? Great question there from Shelley in Kalispell. Let's see. All right, well, we'll jump right into the phone lines here. We got Jesse Browning with us. Jesse Browning is with Moms for Liberty in Yellowstone County. Jesse, thanks for calling in this morning. I got word that apparently there could be a quite contentious or potentially a contentious school board meeting coming up for School District 2 in Billings. Apparently there's a book that has some parents concerned. What's this book, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me. Yes, so there is a book called Assassination Classroom. It's actually one of 21 in the series. West High Library has all of them, and Senior High has about 10 of the books. And I'm currently just challenging under my own name, not under Moms for Liberty. I'm challenging the first book because I'm told you can't challenge an entire series. You have to do it individually. And it's all about students coming into the public school and doing various means to try to assassinate their teacher, including all of them bringing guns and shooting up the place. The meeting tonight is just a routine school board meeting, and they're not going to specifically be addressing this book. There's going to be a separate appeals meeting coming up. However, my appeal is to ask everyone in the community that is a concerned parent, if you or a community member, if you would come to the meeting tonight, make your presence be known and show support. They're going to go over the book review and book selection policy. This is the problem here. They those policies are making it so that you can never get a book removed, no matter how violent it is, no matter how pornographic it is. They will just, if a parent brings the issue to them, they'll say, I was told this, I was banning books, promoting censorship, and it's a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution to bring a challenge to the school board.
Wow. So they're basically limiting your First Amendment rights from speaking out against. I mean, here's my thing. Yes. It's like, okay, so the library in the school is only so big. You can only get so many books in there. And we've seen where, they have what clearly seems like pornographic material. And so people aren't banning books. They're just simply saying, hey, there should be age-appropriate restrictions. Right. So maybe pornographic material should not be on the bookshelves of a library that targeting minors, right? That's one thing. But here we're talking about a book that's more violent, that's apparently is – you know, fantasizing about mass shootings inside of schools and assassinating teachers. I just think for a library that has limited space, why does that series of books make it in and other books may not make it in, right?
Exactly. Well, and one of the arguments that the librarian told me in the initial meeting is she said, well, this book was made in Japan, and Japan has never had a school shooting, and that we need to supply all sorts of different reading material for children.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing from. So when this issue was brought, I'm assuming it was brought to the librarian's attention.
Yes, there's a long process.
Yeah, and what was the initial reaction like?
So you initially go and meet with the librarians and the principal, who is very neutral on the issue. And then after they agree to keep the book, that it should stay, then it goes to a book review committee. And it is not clear how this book committee is selected. I was not able to get a clear answer of who is the person selecting it. And there was an assistant principal, librarian, and teacher, and a parent. And it's not a clear process how they are chosen, and then they reviewed the book, and they chose 3-1 to keep the book in the schools. And now I am appealing to the school board.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing there, and obviously our show's open to anybody to call in, and they could be on the show as well, the people that approve keeping the book there, because if something like this is brought to your attention, I could see how you might be like, oh, yeah, not sure how that got in there, but yeah. That's kind of crazy. I don't know why we would have a book about assassinating teachers and mass shootings inside schools. Why we would have a book like that inside of our schools. But, hey, thanks for bringing that to our attention. But instead, now it's like, I don't know, are they just so sensitive that it's like, nope, we're gonna just fight this symbolic fight, and we're going to defend the indefensible all in the name of, we just don't want somebody telling us that we can't put certain books in our libraries. And it just seems like they're like this knee-jerk, nonsensical response. But like I say, maybe there's a side of the story that we haven't heard yet.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I think needs to be brought to the school board's attention is they should change their policy to not include American Library Association standards, because that is what the argument was for me in the conclusion of the book review committee, saying I'm a book banner and all of that. It's based on American Library Association standards, and I know you've talked about them before, the problems that they have. They've chosen Emily Drabinsky to be their president. She's a self-proclaimed Marxist, and she recently spoke at a socialist conference. And so we shouldn't be putting into policy anything from an organization that has Marxist leadership.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I'm asking.
And the ALA standards are a joke, and that's why the Montana State Library Commission has voted to withdraw and stop paying dues to the ALA.
Right.
It's a sham. So why would we use their standards when they clearly lack standards right now, especially? So what are you hoping the public will do? Are you hoping that folks will join you in your support effort here? I couldn't imagine why teachers and why the teachers union would somehow not be concerned about this.
Right. I strongly recommend anybody who is just wanting to brush this off, it's not a big deal, go check out the book. Go look and see what it says. Most of the pages have something to do with kids saying, I want to assassinate my teacher. I get to kill a real teacher today, that sort of thing. So I really suggest that they go and look at it. But yes, I'm asking the public, if you could come tonight, 5:30, Lincoln Center. If you provide public support, public comment in support of the school board looking at the policy, also Montana state law since 2021, the district superintendent is supposed to be the one that is approving books for purchase for the school system, and School District 2 policy is that the librarian is in charge of this.
Huh.
And so they need to change that. So just if you were there for public comment or even just present at the meeting, because a lot of times it's very obvious to the board, and some of the members have mentioned this, nobody else is here, so nobody cares.
Well, and I'm assuming that if you've found this book to be on several of the Billings school bookshelves right now, I'm assuming other schools around the state also have it, especially in some of the bigger. I don't know if you've confirmed that or not.
I have not confirmed it for separate schools around Montana, but definitely across the nation. This book and the series have been present in several public school libraries. Many of the libraries have removed it once parents have brought concerns forward.
Wow.
Right now it's in West High and Senior High libraries.
Interesting. All right, Jesse Browning, moms. Well, you're speaking out personally, but I know you've done a great job working with Moms for Liberty as well. All right, thanks for calling in. Appreciate the info.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Let's see, real quick, we got Tim and Billings on the phone lines. We got about 30 seconds or so to go before the break. But Tim, what did you want to share about this book?
Well, I don't know anything about the book, but I find the self-awareness of these librarians and these school administrators just be very ironic, you know. There's a whole bunch of people through COVID. They just wanted to be left alone. They didn't want to be told what to do. You ask this librarian to pull a book that talks about killing teachers and administrators at a school. You don't tell us what to do. We are the experts. You don't tell us what to do.
But shut up and wear your mask if you're going to come
That's
in here
right.
while you're at it, by
That's
the way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Shh. Quiet.
Did they get the book on Amazon if they really wanted it, though?
Silence.
What if my parents always have to pay for it?
All right, Tim. Great to hear from you. Glad we snuck you on.
Fox News commentary.
TikTok strikes again, this time with a new trend that includes sympathizing with Osama bin Laden. No joke. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, it's Will Cain, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Join me as I share my thoughts on a wide range of topics, from sports and pop culture to politics and business. With the help of newsmakers and personalities, I will provide you my free, unfiltered, uncancelable opinion on the hottest topics in America.
The Will Cain Podcast. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. America is listening to Fox News.
Every bad trend or idea seems to be born on communist TikTok, and here's a new one for you. TikTok users, mostly Gen Zers, are posting videos to the platform to share their newfound respect and understanding of 9/11 Islamic terror mastermind Osama bin Laden. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. In these videos, users are explaining how they read Osama bin Laden's letter to America, in which he explained why he attacked America, and are now more understanding or even empathetic as to why he did what he did. Yes, young TikTok brats are sitting in their parents' homes making social media videos about the merits of attacking America by indiscriminate terrorism. I have no words. This is further proof that our nation's young people have been severely brainwashed. Isn't it sad to think that if 9/11 were to happen tomorrow, some of your fellow Americans feel they could justify it? I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at OutKick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We're a year out from the next election, but the silly season has already started. It's the time when 30-second ads serve up soundbite solutions to our problems. Those ads take our understanding of issues backwards. In fact, they make problems harder to solve. One simple solution making the rounds is the idea of decoupling from China. Much of what is said or implied in those ads is true, of course. China has increasingly pursued political confrontation. Its record of everything from complying with contracts to protecting intellectual property is appalling, not to mention its record on human rights. But China is also a huge economy. It is so integrated into the economies of Western nations like ours that it would take decades to pull the plug. And it's that way for a reason, because it's been mutually beneficial, growing their middle class as it showered consumers here with benefits. Unwinding the tens of thousands of production relationships that have been forged over the years may still happen, of course, but doing so would be hugely painful and definitely not simple. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau.
Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hey, if you thought I drank too much coffee for Friday's show, you're right, I did. Well, see, I got...
From the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, you know, we've been talking about turkeys all morning here, you know, the White House pardoning the turkeys, and some of you are wondering, were their names Joe and Hunter? Is that the turkeys that got pardoned? Well, we got a couple other turkeys that popped into our studios here, a couple of great guys. We got Miguel with Warrior Wishes Montana, and then also Gray. Gray is in the house here. Gray Rodriguez, Army veteran, Airborne Infantry Squad Leader with the 82nd. Hey, yeah, all right, in the house. Good to see you.
All the way, sir, all the way.
Man, I was joking about your haircut, because most guys that are in the 82nd, it's like high and tight all the time. You got a little shag going there, but it's only about like, you know, a half an inch longer than
a little. Yeah. Fresh haircut from Monday morning, and I skipped it this time.
Yeah, that's good. Well, good to see you, man. You guys are, this is such a cool deal. Warrior Wishes has been passing out free turkeys on Thanksgiving, full Thanksgiving meals, if I remember right, for veterans on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're going to do it a couple of days before Thanksgiving. It'll be tomorrow, actually, the 21st, from 9 to 3 at 6 locations. We'll be handing out meals to veterans in need.
Yeah, and this is all across the Billings area that Warrior mm-hmm. Wishes Montana is giving these out. And, man, how cool of an event is this? How fun is it for a guy like you to be able to give back to your fellow veterans, especially during this holiday season, really to kick off the holiday season here in Montana?
Yeah, I feel it's super important. It's not just handing out meals. It's also handing out hope. You know, we're letting the veterans know that they're not alone, that we're here for them, and that we actually care about them. So it's important. It's important to our organization.
Yeah. Miguel, how many years have you guys been doing this now?
This is our the Vetsgiving, or
yeah, the Vetsgiving. Yeah,
Vetsgiving is straight 8 years in a row.
Eight years in a row.
We haven't missed a date since we started the organization. So happy to announce that, you know, we started this thing off, as you know, 75 meals. I've been coming in here. You've been helping me get the word out every year, and this year we ordered 800 meals.
Wow.
So it definitely has grown. There's definitely a need, a necessity to help our fellow veterans. And that's our goal, is to continuously help them.
Well, especially with the prices right now. I mean, if there was ever a year you were thinking, you know, maybe we aren't going to do the full-blown Thanksgiving dinner right now. It's a year like this just because the price of everything has gotten so expensive out there.
It's outrageous. You know, and these are pre-cooked meals, folks. This isn't something that you have to put in the oven for 6 hours or anything. In fact, you put it in your microwave. that's how ready it is to go. And then you open up your vegetable and you go to chow, and that's it. You're done.
Yeah. Gray, I know you weren't a logistics guy. You were an airborne infantry guy. But then again, infantry's got to get it all done anyway, right? Sometimes you're the only guys out there. So you're the logistics guy. You're the civil affairs guy. You're everybody. Logistically, what did it take to get this thing ready to go for tomorrow?
It wasn't that much. We have a bunch of volunteers. We got some vehicles situated. Tomorrow morning, we'll be loading up bright and early at Albertsons in the Heights. And I think we got everything situated. I think we're good, right?
Yeah, you know, having done this every year, Aaron, we've got some great backing. People every year contribute to this, and it's usually the same people. Albertsons, U-Haul, John Dealer, all of those people have been in place for the last 8 years, and they're the ones that make it easy for me.
Is John going to have his big Boston Red Sox SUV delivering meals?
Probably.
Out there? Yeah. That's so cool.
Everybody in town knows his vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
He drives
that thing out to Boston for Red Sox games,
too. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't take it in the field.
Always reminds me of one of the guys on our team in Afghanistan. He'd always wear his Boston Red Sox hat out there. He was a Boston guy, so I always love seeing that thing. Miguel, What's been the coolest thing, the most impactful thing that you've seen from this? Is there a story that stands out to you over the past 8 years of how important this Vetsgiving giveaway is?
You know, Aaron, from day one and that first meal that went to that veteran, and to see the satisfaction and the thankfulness of that person come back and look in their eyes and knowing that they're getting a good meal and didn't cost them a dime. You know, the generous folks of Montana have always helped me. They've never said no. But to see the looks on their faces when they receive these meals and know that they're giving you a sign of gratitude. And sometimes you don't even have to say it. You just see it in their faces.
Gray, if people want to find full list of locations in the Billings area, or you got a pickup location, Hardup, Roundup, Laurel, Red Lodge, Billings. So several pickup locations across the Billings listening area.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody needs any more information, they can visit our website at warriorwishesmontana.com. It's all there.
All right, and you got a Facebook page as well, Warrior Wishes on Facebook also. Great to see you guys. Thanks for what you're doing, and congrats. Yeah, what, 800 meals? Is that what you
800
said?
800 meals.
That's incredible.
I never thought I would see that.
Do you have the canned cranberry or the raw cranberries? Yeah. I like the jellied stuff.
No, it's already made into the meal.